everything to us. Jesus, we praise you today. We give you all honor and glory that you're due just now. Lord, we're here with one mind and one accord, and that's to give praise and honor and glory to your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you so much, singers. That was beautiful this morning, as always. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the 23rd Psalm? The 23rd Psalm. Many of you could probably quote it by heart, but would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? This, of course, is a messianic psalm penned by the shepherd king, David, who was speaking of the shepherd king, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of our shepherd. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning so much that we've been privileged to sit in the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, now as we open up the Word of the living God, I ask for the same anointing to rest on me, Lord. I know my incapability, Lord, of delivering your Word the way it should be done without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray you'll anoint the minds of my hearers today. Lord, I believe we're living in the last of the last days. Your Holy Spirit has told us that through tongues and interpretation over the past few weeks. Your return is so very near, Lord Jesus. But at the same time, evil is abounding in this world in which we live as your sheep. But Lord, I pray today that you will open our eyes to the fact that our shepherd is always with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And I pray, Lord, you will give us revelation today to the fact that we'll ask for something more than just things from you. That we'll today get a revelation and we will ask for you, Lord Jesus. For you are our everything. You're all we will ever need. Lord, anoint me today to preach your word. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There's one thing that I believe the Lord has shown me as I've prepared this message. And I believe he spoke to my heart. And he said, go and tell my people first of all that I'm coming soon. I believe that with all of my heart, he's coming soon. The rapture of the church is about to occur. It's imminent. It's the next great event on God's prophetic time clock, where Jesus Christ himself is going to appear in the clouds of glory, and the trump of Almighty God is going to sound. And then we will be translated off of this planet into a glorified body, and so we will ever be with the Lord. That is so very, very soon to occur. The Lord stressed to my heart as I was preparing this message to go and tell my people. I believe he gave me specific instructions to look up. Their redemption's drawing nigh. For them not to look at the events that are transpiring in this world and be disconcerted over them. For our Lord is about to return. Our shepherd is going to come again. He came once, the great shepherd Jesus Christ did, to save us from our sins. He's coming again to glorify us with him. We can look forward to that, church. We can shout about that because not one jot or tittle of this word has ever failed. Jesus Christ said he's coming again. And I believe with all of my heart he's coming again, praise God. Our shepherd, hallelujah, I feel that this morning. I've got to digress for a moment and shout just a little bit because I'm happy in my soul, because I know my Shepherd King, the King of Kings, is coming again for me very, very soon. He's coming for you. He's coming after a church that is without spot and without blemish. And that used to worry me, because I think I got a lot of spots and I got a lot of blemishes, until I fully understood that by faith, exclusively in His precious shed blood, it's not predicated upon my performance. It's predicated upon what He did for me on the cross. Hallelujah. It's His blood, the blood of my Shepherd, our Shepherd, makes us righteous, makes us holy, makes us fit to be recipients of all blessing in Christ Jesus. Give Him a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. But I believe the Lord further told me, at the same time as we can rejoice over His imminent return and His coming after us, His children, evil is intensifying in the world in which we live. Think of it. I would have never thought in my lifetime I would hear the President of the United States openly declare that it's okay for same-sex marriage to occur in this nation. Think of that. That's evil. Homosexuality in and of itself is one of the most vile, evil acts of rebellion found in the annals of human history. God hates it so that in the Old Testament it was demanded that they be stoned. Think of that. That's not me. That's God made that demand. And it's an evil thing. It's perpetrated in the bowels of hell to conflict with God's plan for the family. We're living in an evil time. We're forsaken Israel now. Our current president has in toto turned his back on the Israeli people. And I was discussing with somebody this week that we both felt that, again, America's left silent in biblical prophecy. The reason being is because either we won't help Israel, or we're going to be so weak we won't be able to by the time the attacks on Israel start to come from the armies of the Antichrist. So we're also living in a very evil world, and that's wearing to the child of God. If you look at events transpiring in the world, you'll stay depressed. I mean, you'll have to take enough Prozac, and it won't really help you any, that it'd bankrupt Pfizer. I'm serious. It's bad when you look at the world. So the Lord told me in this message today, remind my people to put their faith and trust in their Shepherd. And I am their Shepherd. As King David penned this psalm, he said, "The Lord is my Shepherd." That says so much, because the shepherds in the day of David, and even today it hasn't changed that much in Israel, how they tend to the flocks. They knew every minor, unique characteristic of the sheep that were in their flock. I want you to know this morning that the God we serve, He knows the number of hairs on our head. And He is able to sustain us and to preserve us in the midst of this growing evil that is blanketing the globe. Our Savior will care for us until He comes. We are assured the Lord is our Shepherd. He's the one who's caring for us. Hallelujah. That day you made that decision to put your faith in what He did for you at the cross, He all at once redeemed you from sin, broke sin's power from your life, adopted you as one of His very own, and now you stand with your name written down in the portals of glory. When He appears in the clouds, hallelujah, and calls us, we're going to leave this world with a shout, and we're going to go shooting skyward, and our next conscious thought will be standing in the air with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look up, church. Our redemption's drawing nigh. Hallelujah. Now is not the time to look at the world and think, oh, what are we going to do? We are the redeemed of the Lord. Our Shepherd is coming again. Hallelujah. Our King is coming again. Glory to God. Let your heart be glad today. Let your heart be full of joy today, because Jesus Christ, our Shepherd, our King, is soon to come after us. That's who our Shepherd is. You'll notice in this psalm that it's written from the perspective of the sheep. Now, anybody will tell you sheep are some of the dumbest animals on the face of this planet. They're also some of the most stubborn little things on the face of this planet. Some of them, you can't get them to move for anything. The shepherd would have to literally take his staff and whack them a good one. You know, God has to do that to me sometimes. I don't know about you. Maybe you're all farther down the line than Greg Browning is. But every now and then, he's got to take out that lovingly staff of his and give me a good whack with it. You know why? Because if he did not, we would have a tendency to look to someone other than him. Sometimes we need that reminder. That's what this message is today. The Lord is our shepherd. You may have problems in your life today that are overwhelming you. And you're thinking, my Lord, how am I going to get through this? The Lord sent me to preach this simple message to you today to tell you you're going to make it because the Lord is your shepherd. He is in control of every minute detail of your life. If he knows the number of hairs on your head, do you think he's going to let you go down? No, the Lord is your shepherd. He's the one who's leading and guiding every affair in your life. Even the paths that are difficult. You know, sometimes the shepherd still has to lead the sheep through a very difficult path. But watch this. He knows where they're going. He knows the end result. Let me tell you something today. This will bless you. Jesus Christ, when he looks at you right now, he does not see you as you are right now. I want that to sink in for just a moment. He does not view you in your current state, in your current situation, whatever that is. You know what he's looking at? He's looking at you when you're in a glorified body standing with him in glory. He knows the end result. And I'm here to tell you, the Lord wants you reminded today, he's your shepherd. He's going to take you there. Just follow him. Just follow him. You know, Jesus has never demanded very much of us, if you read your scripture. He really hasn't. I mean, if you don't understand the cross properly and what he did there and what he purchased for us, you might think he's asking a lot. He said, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Let me ask you a quick question. Anybody in here ever kept all 10 of them this week? Please raise your hand because you're going to take this pulpit when you do. Because you're going to be far more qualified than Greg Browning to deliver the Word of God. No. No, we haven't even kept all 10 of them this week. Anybody done it in the last 3 days? Probably not. No. But he's our shepherd. He purchased our redemption. He is the one who performed the covenant with God for us so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be a part of his flock. And he has adopted you into the Father's house. Glory to God. Glory to God. That sends chill bumps all over me this morning. The Lord is our shepherd. He said, I shall not want. Now I want you to see this for just a moment. I shall not want. We immediately think, well, I got a lot of wants. Don't we? We got a lot of wants. That's not what this scripture is referring to. Not our every whim. What he's saying is, I'm your shepherd. I'm enough for you. In and of myself, my person, my being is enough for you. You don't need all the things you think you need. You know, I just came from one of these supervisor training sessions that I went to recently up in Aberdeen, and I shared with you some of the events that transpired there. But at one point in the class, they presented this Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I don't know if any of you have ever seen or heard this. It's this triangle. Okay, and Maslow and his warped psychological thinking said that, you know, as man's needs are met on one level, then you go to the next level. And ultimately, at the top of the pyramid, you achieve this thing that I've never heard nobody explain to make any sense to me, self-actualization. Self-actualization. You know the problem with that is the pyramid needs to be inverted. We're already too much aware of ourselves. We're already too much focused on self. When mankind fell in the garden, that's the first thing he became conscious of was self. Man already has self-actualization. Man's problem is he thinks on himself too much. And what the Lord is telling us, if you'll focus on me and place your faith and trust in me, I will lead and guide you exactly where you need to go because I know the way of blessing. There is all blessing in Christ Jesus. Everything we're ever going to receive from God does not come because we can keep the Ten Commandments. Everything we're going to receive is because we put our faith in Him, and now He counts us as having kept those Ten Commandments. Glory to God. He performed what we could never perform. Hallelujah. I'm reminded this morning of the Old Testament when Abraham, the father of faith, God appeared to him in the plains of Mamre. And he said, I want to form a covenant with you. And in those days, when a covenant was formed, the two parties coming together would stipulate the terms of the covenant and say that they were going to perform them. And he told Abraham, you prepare a sacrifice. And Abraham cut the animal in two. And what was usually happened was that the two parties entering into the covenant together, that animal would be divided in two, and they would join hands, and they would walk through that divided animal, stipulating the terms of the covenant. And it would be an eternal covenant then, but late in the evening, the Bible says that Abraham saw a smoking pot of its own volition pass through between the sacrifice that he had prepared. What was God telling him? He's saying, Abraham, I love you so much, but you can't keep the terms of the covenant. So I am going to perform it myself on your behalf. That is exactly what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. We could never have performed the terms of the covenant. We could never have kept the Ten Commandments. But because our shepherd loved us enough, he laid down his life for his sheep and thereby earned the right forevermore to be the true and living shepherd. He said, I am the door of the sheep. No man gets in but by me. Hallelujah. That's what burns the world up about Jesus Christ. The exclusivity of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. Buddha can't perform it. Muhammad can't perform it. We can't perform it. But glory to God, Jesus Christ performed it on the cross. And when he said, it is finished, he meant exactly what he said. Hallelujah. He meant that forevermore we were the redeemed of the Lord. He meant that forevermore if we put our faith in Him, He will be our shepherd. And we will never want because we'll always have Him. You know, you can get by without a whole lot. You can. You really can physically. If this scripture meant what some Word of Faith teachers try to bring it out to, oh, you'll never want for anything. Well, that's just a lie. In this life, you're going to want for certain things. But what Jesus, what the Shepherd King is saying to us this morning, what this psalm is saying to us, is that Jesus is everything. That's why this same King David wrote, if I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. It's His presence in our heart and life that makes any situation, any trial palatable. You know why? Because number one, our Shepherd King is in control of the trial. He controls how the depth of it. He controls the intensity of it. And He will control the time of deliverance that will surely come if you'll just keep on believing Him. Know that He is your shepherd. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He loves you. He laid down His life for us, and He will in no wise lead us to a place where we will be harmed. He's always working redemptively in our lives. My Lord, and there's your introduction. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's go on. I got to hurry. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. In other words, He's going to give us what we need to survive. He's going to give us what we need for sustenance in this life. He will give that without fail. And He'll give something else our shepherd will. He'll give us the peace that passes all understanding. Because His presence in our hearts guarantees that we will have peace no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter what situation we find ourselves in. Our shepherd will never leave us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Going on to verse 3, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Praise God. Praise God. It liberated me so when I found out that I did not have to perform to get God's favor. Most of my Christian experience, I was so worried because I would try so hard and I would fail a lot of times. And I would think, Lord, I'm falling short. I'm falling short. And that's a terrible feeling for a believer to have, to love God. And no, because you know where the focus of my faith was? My performance. My performance. And we're not going to perform the law. We're not going to perform the law. I don't care how good you may think you are. We cannot do it. We cannot do it to God's standard anyway. Now, it's like my good friend Lauren Larson says, anybody can be good for an hour on Sunday morning. Or an hour on Wednesday night. That ain't hard at all, is it? Come in, dress nice, look pretty, smile, and just, Jesus is wonderful, yeah. Anybody can do that. God's standard is 24/7, 365, keeping every one of those Ten Commandments in perfection. That's God's standard. I don't know about you all, I fell short of that this week. I fell short of it all my life. But He led me beside the still waters. He restored my soul and gave me righteousness, His righteousness, for His name's sake. I'm glad this morning I don't have to trust in my righteousness. You know, you have all these preachers today who are trying to treat the sheep as if the sheep belong to them. You know, they say things like, well, the anointing flows down. Don't hinder the anointing. Can I tell you something this morning? That anointing comes from the shepherd, Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from that preacher. Jesus may give him some of that anointing to deliver the word, but that don't make that pastor or evangelist or prophet or teacher. That does not make him the source of that anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That person who's being anointed had better respect that anointing and know it doesn't belong to him. I've heard some of these fools who say, I'm going to pass it out. I'm going to impart my anointing to you. You're a fool, sir. You got no anointing to give except what the shepherd gives. That comes from His righteousness. It does not emanate out of a man. It comes by the power of the Holy Ghost through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Were His blood not applied to our lives, we could in no wise experience the presence of the Holy Ghost. But He gives us His righteousness when we put faith in Him and allows the Holy Spirit of God to come into our hearts and lives and gives the Holy Spirit latitude to work on us and make us like Him. Hallelujah. That's what we need more than anything else. More than anything else, more than anything material, we need Jesus. And we need to know and let the Holy Spirit cultivate in our hearts that Jesus is enough and will evermore be enough, no matter what we're going through. Hallelujah. He'll be there with us and He'll help you. He'll help you. And He gives us His righteousness. His righteousness for His name's sake. He makes us righteous. His blood makes us acceptable to God. His blood makes us law keepers where we were lawbreakers by faith alone. Hallelujah. Thank God we don't have to perform it because we couldn't do it. That's what God was telling Abraham when He took the smoking pot through that sacrifice that Abraham had cut up. Abraham, you can't do it. I'm going to do it for you. Our shepherd came after us and He laid down His life for us, His sheep. And He cares for us. There's an old song we used to sing years ago in the Church of God. It's called, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Praise God. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. I feel that this morning. I feel His love in here today. He's preparing for Himself people to live for Him in these last days. that are not going to bite on every fad that every false prophet comes up with. They're going to cling to the shepherd because they know he is the source of life. He is the only one who's able to lead to the green pastures that will provide not only our natural sustenance, but our spiritual sustenance. And that's what we need more than anything. Only Jesus can satisfy that want. Only Jesus can satisfy that need. And he, being our shepherd, loves us and will do it. Hallelujah. That word, our shepherd, where it says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. That word Lord is translated into the Hebrew as Jehovah Jireh. The Lord who supplies all of our needs. Glory to God. That's our shepherd. That's the one who's leading and guiding us. That's the one who's blessing us. That's the one who's caring for us. That's the one who knows the number of hairs on our head. That's the one who laid down his life for us on the Calvary's cross. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. But we're going to experience, I believe, in this last day, more of the power of God upon those who trust exclusively in Jesus than we've ever seen before. Hallelujah. You know why it's going to take that? It's going to take that because the evil is abounding. You know, Jesus said himself, he said, because evil shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He said that about the last days. Because evil shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I feel led of the Holy Spirit to stop here for a moment and expound that scripture. When we hear evil, immediately in our mind, and rightfully so, we think of something like homosexuality or a vast number of sins, and that is certainly evil. But in context, what the Lord is referring to here, the most evil thing you can do to another person from God's perspective is give them a false gospel which they can't be saved under. If you tell them, go through our program, that'll make you right with God, you've just damned that person to hell forever. You've put their faith in something that can't redeem them and can't save them. That's the most evil thing you can do to another person, is give them a false gospel. And that's what Jesus was saying, because evil shall abound. How much real gospel preaching is there, even in the church today? I fear precious little. In some pulpits, Jesus Christ is not even mentioned. His shed blood is not even mentioned. Why? Because it might offend someone. The church must know that our shepherd has told us what to preach about him, and he's made it expressly clear. And I don't know where God may take this little body to. That's up to him. But all I want is the amen of heaven. I don't care if I get the amen of the church world or not, or the religious world. I want Jesus Christ, our shepherd, saying yes, 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 amen. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. In this body, I want Jesus Christ lifted up. I want us to sing Jesus. I want us to teach Jesus. I want us to preach Jesus, because he is the shepherd. Hallelujah. He is the king. He is the one who laid down his life for us. No man did it. No TV preacher did it. No false religious leader did it. But Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He alone. He alone. And the evil that God was speaking of was people were going to be led in the last days to place their faith in something, in someone or something other than Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. You know, it's like I heard Brother Swaggart say one time. It stuck with me. It went deep in my soul. He said, you can't overpreach the cross of Christ. It's impossible, because all blessing flows from that cross. That's why Paul said, I determine to know nothing among you to the Corinthian church save Christ and him crucified. Because Paul had tried to use his intellect on Mars Hill and had failed miserably. Intellect can't do much for mankind. But the cross is the power of God revealed. The cross is the love of God revealed. The cross is the promise of God revealed. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ and him crucified is the message of the church, and is the message that the church should be preaching. I've got nothing wrong. I've said it before with preaching about getting your family healed. That's fine. Getting your finances healed. That's fine. Getting your body healed. That's great. But all those things are going to come only through the cross of Jesus Christ. And if that preacher or that teacher is leading you ultimately anywhere but to the cross, he's steering you wrong. The cross is the universal meeting place of mankind with God. I want to say that again. It's the universal meeting place. God will not meet with man anywhere but at the cross of Jesus Christ. Hear that. Hear that. There is no other method. That's what gave Jesus the right to be our shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep. I got to hurry. There's so much I want to preach this morning. Go on to verse 4 with me of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd had three tools in his toolkit, if you will, as a shepherd. He had a rod, which was a long, thick, blunt instrument. Years ago, they had that movie about that sheriff down in Kentucky. What was it? Walking Tall. Does anybody see that? I'm dating myself here. Some of you here don't even know what on earth I'm talking about. But this sheriff, he was cleaning up the town. It was riddled with illegal alcohol and drugs. And he didn't carry a gun. He holed him out this big stick that was about this big around. Looked like a baseball bat. And he would just club people into oblivion with it. All of these criminals. That's kind of what the rod was like in the shepherd's toolkit. And do you know what it was for? As that shepherd would be leading the sheep, if any animal, wild animal, would be headed toward those sheep, he would break out that club and just beat that animal's brains out. King David no doubt had to use it on the lion and the bear when he was a shepherd. He knew exactly what he was talking about. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, let me make that applicable to us. Hopefully we'll be able to understand it as what the Scripture is really saying to us. Your shepherd never leaves you. He's always right there. I wish sometimes the Lord would just open our eyes to how many times, even without us being aware of it, he's taken out that rod and bludgeoned the enemy on our behalf. And drove away demon attacks that were trying to come against us. But our shepherd never sleeps. The Bible says, he that watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Hallelujah. That's our shepherd. That's our shepherd. He's got the rod in his hand. The rod of authority. Hallelujah. And he will allow nothing to happen to one of his sheep, i.e. us. He won't allow it. He's on guard all the time. And if he does allow something to come in, and sometimes he does, just to test us and to remind us how much we need him. It just blesses me to see Jesus with a nail-scarred hand. And this is a little bit dramatic, but it paints a good picture. With that nail-scarred hand holding that rod. And how many times have the attacks of the enemy started to try to come against me or you, and he, without us even knowing it, has taken that rod and just waved it and scared the minions of hell to death. Glory to God. That's our shepherd. It said also he has a staff in his toolkit. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That staff, sheep being stupid and stubborn like they are, they love to wander out from the shepherd's leading. Oh my, don't that sound just like us? They love to go off exploring their own paths. And oftentimes they'll get stuck in a thicket of briars or thorns, and they would start to cry out, and this staff was like a hook on the end of it. I'm sure most of you need it, or have seen it, and needed it too. I know I have more than a few times. And when that sheep would cry out, that shepherd would go over to it, hook it, and pull it out of those thorns and briars, and pick it up and carry it. And I'm going to use this illustration again, talking about our shepherd, because it's so beautiful. after a sheep would do this three or four times, and most of the sheep that the shepherd led, they had broken bones at one time or another in their legs. Because a shepherd would allow a sheep to stray three times. And it would get hung in those briars and thickets and be crying out, "Wah, wah." Ain't it just like us? When we've done something we ought not to have done, we've probably made our own situation unpalatable. And we'll begin to cry out, "Man, I don't know about you. I'll use myself. I don't want to talk down to nobody. I get so holy and righteous in those times. Oh, God, I've served you and I've just done everything I know to do for you. Lord, I don't know why this is happening to me." And he has to remind me, "Dummy, you did it to yourself. Why did you go that way when you knew it's not the way I wanted you to go?" But three times the shepherd would come pull that sheep out. The fourth time that sheep would wander off and get hung in the thicket, the shepherd would start crying out. Rah, rah. The shepherd would come run over to it and hook it out. Except the fourth time when he pulled it out, he would hold its leg and take that staff and beat it and break that leg. Give it a clean break. That shepherd would then gently and lovingly reset that leg. And he would pick that sheep up and carry it until that leg was well. And then when it was well, he set that sheep back down and it don't stray no more. Always had to break our legs a whole bunch, ain't he? But he's never killed us. And he's never cast us out of his flock. Hallelujah. When we've deserved it, he's never said, "You're no longer a part of the flock." He's come and he's broke our leg and he's carried us until it's set again and made us stronger ultimately. That's why it says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Not only do the rod and staff fend off enemies and rescue, sometimes the rod and staff are used by the shepherd to discipline the sheep. But ultimately, it's all a source of comfort to the sheep. Because why? The shepherd who loves them, who's not going to do them ultimately any harm, is the one who's leading and guiding them and making sure that they know don't stray from this path. The hardest thing that the Lord has to get us to do, really can only be done as he gives us the Holy Spirit, because again, we can't do this, is simply follow him. That's all Jesus asked. Follow me. When he called his disciples, that's all he said, follow me. Just follow me. And we have the hardest time doing that. Even knowing how gracious he is, how loving he is, we still love, just like sheep, to get off on our own path. But he's had to break our legs sometimes. But he's never said, "You're no longer one of my sheep." No wonder in the next verse, King David said, "Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life." Hallelujah. I'm going to close on that. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." My Lord, what more do we need? Because our shepherd, he makes a table for us, the psalm says, in the presence of our enemies. Hallelujah, because he's protecting us. That's what King David was talking about when he said, "If I make my bed in hell, you're with me." I don't know what you may be facing this morning, but know this, your shepherd's in control of it. Our shepherd's in control of everything that's going on in our lives. And if you can't see how he's going to bring you through it or get you out of it, you really don't need to see that. Really, we think we do, but we don't. You know what we need to know and put our faith in? The character and the performance of our shepherd. The character and the performance of our shepherd. Because he's never lost a sheep. He's never lost a one. He said, and I'm not preaching once saved, always saved here. What I'm saying is hopefully, you know, is predicated on the fact your faith is exclusively in him and what he did for you on the cross. He said, "God gave me these sheep." He said, "No man's going to pluck a one of them out of my hand." As long as our faith is in him, we're his sheep. And he's not going to let anything destroy us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's never lost a sheep. Not a one who's kept their faith in him has ever been lost. Hallelujah. Neither will you. You don't need to know how he's going to do it. Know his character and know you're his sheep. He is our shepherd, and he will do it. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. I know what I'm talking about. My back's been to the wall too many times now. And I wish I could tell you I don't want to hold myself up as some supreme example. I'm still like the little sheep. I'll start crying and whining and carrying on something awful. But I'll tell you this. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. Mercy says, I'm not going to treat you like you deserve to be treated. Hallelujah. I'm going to treat you as if you've done no wrong. I'm going to treat you as if you didn't cause the situation. And I'm going to come because of my grace and my mercy. And I'm going to help you. Hallelujah. So I don't know how he's going to do it for you. But trust in his character that he's never lost a sheep. And he knows exactly where he's taking you to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's read verse 6 and we'll shut up. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said in John 14 and 1, right after he had spoken to the disciples about his imminent crucifixion coming up in Jerusalem, they were worried because he told them in John 15 about how the Holy Spirit, he said, I'm going to go away. He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send you a comforter. He was speaking the course of the Holy Spirit because they were so troubled. But then he said in John 14, beginning at verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. The word there, heart in Greek, is cardia. It means your innermost soul and spirit. Let not your spirit be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In other words, believe in what I've told you. He was in essence telling them what I presented to you this morning. Trust my character. Have I ever failed you? You've seen me do the miracles. You've seen me raise the dead. You've seen me open the blinded eyes. You've heard me speak in the synagogues. I have presented you men with a plethora of evidence that I am who I say I am. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Then he told him, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, we're coming full circle here in this message. I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Praise God. That's our shepherd. He's coming again. And we're going to dwell with him forever. Not many more days in this whole world are we going to have to put up with any of us. It's coming to a close. It's coming to a close. Some may go by way of the grave. Some may go by way of rapture. But it's coming. It's coming. And our shepherd has not changed from Psalm 23. One of my favorite scriptures in all the word. Hebrews 13 and 9. Jesus Christ, the same. Hallelujah, I love that. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God for our shepherd. Would you stand? Would you stand? With your heads bowed and eyes closed, and please no moving now in reverence to the Holy Spirit of God, unless you absolutely have to. I want to ask you the question this morning, are you right with God at this moment in time? Are you right with God? And you may have answered that question, well, yes, Pastor, I'm right with God. Well, let me take you one step further. Why do you believe you're right with God? What are you basing that rightness with God upon? If it's because you're saying, well, I try to be a good person, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. No man can meet God's standard through his own performance of his own volition, through his own effort. I guess the cutting edge question I'm getting to is, who is your faith in? Because you can't meet God's standard through your own goodness or performance. The only correct answer to the question is, are you right with God? Is yes, I'm right with God, because my faith has been placed exclusively in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his atoning for me through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the only way anybody can be right with God. Let me ask you again this morning. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? You see, this great shepherd I preached about today, I sense him calling out to some right now. You know you're not right with God. The Holy Spirit is convicting you now, and you feel uncomfortable, and maybe you don't even understand why right now you're feeling this disconcerting mood in your spirit. That's the Holy Spirit working on you. He's pointing you to the way to be right with God, which is through faith alone and what Jesus did on the cross. And you can be this morning. The great shepherd will take you as one of his sheep, as I have preached today. He will adopt you as one of his own children. But you must follow him. You must come his way. We have nothing as humans to cut a deal with God with. He's God. He's God. Who are we to him? But in his love and grace and mercy, he has made provision for us to become his sheep, when we can only do it by faith, by trusting in what he has commanded we trust in. And that is Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. As you're here today, I want to ask you again. You'd say, I'm not right with God, Pastor, but I want to be. I'm not right with God based on what you told me. If that's you, would you hold a hand up high so I'll see it and keep it up? No one looking around, please. This is between you and the Lord. I won't embarrass you, I promise. Are there any at all? I'm not right with God, Pastor, but I want to be. Based on what you told me, are there any at all? And I'm going to ask everyone who will, if you would come, and would you just present yourselves around this altar of God this morning? I believe the Lord wants to touch some people further. But I believe he wants us to just make a symbolic move toward him right now. Phil, could you put something soft on the music, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel the Holy Spirit's directing me this way to tell you this at this altar call. Some of you have had your leg broke recently, so to speak, with the great shepherd. Maybe something has transpired that has been very, very hurtful, and you don't understand it. But if you belong to him, he's your shepherd. He's your shepherd, and he loves us enough to break our leg sometimes, just like he did just like the shepherds would do the little sheep. But he's telling me to tell you this right now. He's carrying you, and he's closer to you than you think. He's there. He's there, and he's carrying you. And on the other side of it, there's going to be healing, and there's going to be a stronger sheep. Hallelujah. Others of you, you're in a situation where the Lord is really not breaking your leg, but he's leading you down a rough path right now for some reason. Don't doubt his character is what the Holy Spirit is saying right now. Don't doubt his character. He's your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. I shall not want. He's never lost a sheep. He knows where he's taking you. And you're not going to fail. You're not going to falter, because he's going to give you the strength. You know, sometimes I wish the Lord would give us an overabundance of strength for what he calls us to go through. But to be frank and honest with you, as I search the Word and my own experience in my walk with him, he gives us just what we need. But oh, hallelujah. He's there. He's there. And he's going to sustain you. He's going to give you the strength on the path he's got you on. And we all have questions at times. That's all right. He understands that. But what we must never doubt is the character of our shepherd. He's never lost a sheep. He's not going to. He can speak to the seas. He can speak to whatever you're facing when he's ready to bring you out on the other side of it. And he will do that. He will do that. Oh, I feel that this morning. He will bring you out. He's your shepherd. He's not leading you into destruction. It may be a rocky path right now. It may be a difficult way. But he's leading you to blessing. All the shepherd can do ultimately is bless. Because he loves the sheep. I forgot to bring it out in the message today for time. But it's a good time at this altar call to bring it out. This 23rd Psalm said, Thou anointest my head with oil. Let me tell you what would happen. These sheep from traveling along the path that the shepherd had led them. Many times at the end of the day, they had this little fuzzy patch of hair on the top of their head. And it would get all kind of briars and burrs in it. And it would be irritating to the sheep. At the end of every day, that shepherd would sit down with each individual sheep and individually pluck those briars and those discomforts from the top of his head. And then if there was any irritation that he saw there, he would take a very fine perfumed oil and rub it on the sores of that sheep's head to provide it comfort. It speaks of our daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of the daily walk with our shepherd, who you may not even be aware of it. Give him time. Give him time every day to work on us. Let's do it. Because he anoints our head with oil and his cruise. And that oil, of course, is a type of the Holy Spirit. It's never going to run dry. He'll have oil for us every day to rub on the burrs and the thickets that we've acquired as we walk through this life, even on the path that he's led us in. Let him do that for you right now. Some of you need to do that. You haven't done it in a while. Let the shepherd anoint your head with oil today as we stand around this altar and trust in his character. I'm going to just pray with everyone. Let's just pray a corporate prayer today. That's how I feel the Holy Spirit leading me. But know that our shepherd, has never lost a sheep. We can trust his character. We can trust him in the way he's leading us, because ultimately it's going to be a blessing. Ultimately, may not feel like it right now, ultimately it's going to be a blessing. But daily, daily, let him anoint our head with oil. He knows and understands the briars and the thorns and the burrs that are in our spirit. And he knows how to lovingly pluck them out without pain and then anoint us with that sweet oil of the Holy Spirit, which will provide us with strength and healing. That's our shepherd. That's our shepherd, Jesus Christ. Let's go to him in prayer now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, the great prophet Isaiah said it best when he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. But Lord, you've never cast us out. Thank you for your loving kindness and your patience and your grace and your mercy with us, who spiritually are just like the sheep. We're not very smart and we're very stubborn. Thank you that you don't cast us out. Thank you that you love us enough to break our leg. Thank you that you love us enough to lead us, albeit sometimes a rough path, but it's leading to a place of blessing. Lord, I guess what we're asking you for today is fresh faith. We're asking for you, our shepherd, to reach down by the power of your Holy Spirit and pour oil on us today, and to pluck out the thorns and the briars that are irritating our spirits, Lord. This speaks of our daily walk with you and our fellowship with you. Jesus, thank you that we're in you and you're in us. We give you glory today for your grace and your mercy and for being our shepherd spiritually. You laid down your life for us, and you have the supply of oil of the Holy Spirit that will allow us to endure and will sustain us through anything that this world or the powers of darkness will throw at us. We're your sheep. We're your sheep. And your word says you're leading us to a place of green pastures. to a place of still waters. But sometimes on that path to the green grass and the still waters, it's a rocky, dirty road. But you're taking us to a place of blessing. Let us have renewed faith in the character of our shepherd today. Holy Spirit, reach down deep in us today. We submit ourselves to your working, Holy Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus. And Jesus, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit to reach deep in our spirits today and to pluck out the thorns and the irritants and the troubles and the doubts. And we know, Lord, when you remove those things, you anoint our head with oil. You replace it with the soothing, peaceful presence of your Holy Spirit, which will allow us to endure. You are our strength. Holy Spirit of God, through Jesus, you're our strength. Pour out the oil and the wine on us right now, Lord, as we live in this dangerous world. Let us, your sheep, not be dissuaded by the baubles of this world and Satan, by the baubles of religion that will lead us from Jesus Christ exclusively. Thank you, Lord. I feel you've done great work in our hearts and our lives today. And Lord, we continue to submit our lives unto you. May we have, Lord, may you teach us today to have this daily communion with you, where our shepherd cleans us and pours on new, sweet, fresh oil of the Holy Spirit on us. Thank you, our great shepherd, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Let's give him a hand of praise today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's been sweet, I believe, for me anyway, to be in God's house today. I pray you've experienced the sweetness of the Holy Spirit and the love of our shepherd today. Praise God. It's been great to have my brother and sister-in-law with us. I don't know if any of you have ever met them before. That's Jim and Joy Horn, two of the greatest people of God you'll ever want to meet in your life. And you never thought I'd say that, would you, Joy? But they are. I love them like a brother and a sister. I'm saying this because Joy's making pies later. And her pie is like an angel dancing over your tongue. So she's anointed pie. No, I'm just kidding. She's an anointed pie maker. But I do so love them. Mahari, would you come dismiss us in prayer? Y'all have a great day today. And get out there and enjoy this beautiful Sunday. It's been beautiful to be in God's house with you. Mahari.